it's time to get down and dirty in the trenches. Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access with Pro Bowl defensive tackle Gerald McCoy.
Buccaneers have come out with it. McCoy strips the ball away. A quarterback sacked by G-Mac.
Now your host, T.J. Reeves, and number 93, Gerald McCoy.
Well, hello there. Good evening, and we welcome you to this latest edition of Buccaneers Total Access as we come your way from the Outback Steakhouse on Sheldon Road in Tampa with number 93, Gerald McCoy, here with us tonight as the Buccaneers get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, and we invite you to come by and see the show in person tonight. OL on location tonight here in Tampa. We are right off of Sheldon Road in between Waters Avenue and Citrus Park Drive. If you know where the Citrus Park Mall is in Tampa, in that part of, come on by. We're right behind the mall, right on Sheldon Road. Come by and see us and enjoy some good food, a good meal, and come say hello to number 93, as we get to do tonight. Good to see you again.
It's good to be back, man.
I know.
It feels good. I was away for a while. Feels good to be back.
So let's talk about that here before we get to the preparation and everything this week. It was bye week last week. Mm-hmm. No game, obviously, on the weekend. What'd you do?
That was awful. Let me tell you, my bye week wasn't awful. Sitting and watching football was awful.
Why?
Because I know I didn't have a game. So, for me, when I sit and watch football, knowing I don't have a game, it's awful. So, us not being in the playoffs.
Right.
Not playing in the playoffs is pretty terrible for me. So, bye weeks are... Football-wise, they're good for rest, but as far as, like, I love to watch football, but how I really get into it is I know I have a game coming up, and since I know I wasn't playing that day, it was kind of like, eh.
Your world was kind of put on hold for a little bit.
Yes.
But you did some fun stuff.
Family-wise,
yeah?
I had a blast. I did.
All right, as much as you want to share, what did you go do, especially in Oklahoma? You went back home, right?
I did. I went back home. Me and the family got away for a while. I went on a little vacation. Then I went back home, man. Went back to the 405, visited Norman. The Sooners got a big win.
You were at the game last Saturday with TCU, correct?
Yeah. That OU's defense is pretty good, man. I didn't know they were that good. I never get a chance to watch them.
It's been pretty good for a while.
Yeah. It was good, and then it kind of fell off for a couple years.
So you're just being honest here with the fans.
Yeah, why not?
But before the game Saturday, we'll get back to the game on Saturday, they honored you.
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday they honored you. Sunday. So after the game Saturday, they honored you on Sunday. What happened? What's going on with that on the bye week?
The middle school that I went to, they're doing a lot of renovations around Oklahoma City. Well, the middle school that I attended renamed the football field after me. But they renamed not just the football field, but it's called McCoy Field. It has baseball, softball.
Really?
Football, and soccer.
So that would be McCoy Fields, plural. You got several of them now.
You could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how cool? They did a ceremony?
The coolest thing about it, I have to say, is the field being named after me. One, my dad's name lives on, which is cool for me.
Yep.
Two, that school that they named the field after me, that's where I met my wife.
How about that?
Yeah. How cool is that?
So that is cool. But did they do a little ceremony,
cutting? They did a ceremony. I got to cut the ribbon. They put up a jersey and a picture of me in the hallway. They're going to do it. And it was pretty cool, man. Yeah.
So did you get to interact with any of the players because they're in season for football, or see any of them for the middle school football team?
I got to
team?
Meet a lot of the athletes at the school.
How cool was that?
That was pretty cool, man. See the future me's. that was great, man. It was the softball girls were really happy. You know, they got a new field to practice on. And that was cool for me because my sister played at that school, when it wasn't so nice.
Again, the voice of Gerald McCoy with us here. We are going to take your phone calls coming up. Here's how you join us, 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Wherever you can hear the show, and through technology they can hear the show everywhere, including in Oklahoma and the Northeast and the West, wherever you hear the show, dial us at 1-800-596-BUCKS. Give that toll-free number a try, 1-800-596-2827. to ask some questions, make some comments for Gerald here tonight, but I'm still fascinated on this point on the bye week. When you were younger, when you were in middle school, when you were in high school, did you ever contemplate that anything like this could become a reality, become a professional football player, go play in a Pro Bowl, one day come back to your town and they name the field after you? What, I mean, what is that like to live out what had to be something like a dream growing up, right?
Well, I always seen stuff like that on movies, you know, or on TV, guys get fields named after them or this or that. Honestly, man, I just enjoyed the game the same way I do now. There are accolades that comes with playing well, and I have more of a better view on those things. But as a kid, man, you just love playing the game, and that's the thing that happens with guys in the NFL. They lose sight of that, and they start focusing on all the wrong things. Well, you know, the joy of playing football as a kid is just, you know, it's just a game. You just get to go play it. So honestly, as a kid, I was a fan of the NFL, but I never thought, you know, one day I want to play in the NFL. I was thinking, you know, present time. I just want to keep playing until
right.
I can't play anymore. But it wasn't until I got to high school, my dad asked me, he said, son, do you want to do this in college? Do you want to keep playing? I was like, I think I do. He was like, well, you know, it's not going to be easy. You got to get in shape. They don't want guys who are out of shape and don't work hard. And, you know, so it was that point on. I was 15 years old when he told me that. It was that point on where I really just, you know, locked in and said, you know what, I think I do want to play in the NFL one day.
Now, your dad, I assume, was around this past weekend. Did he get to take all of it in? And what was that like to be there with him?
He took it all in, man. And, you know, my dad, man, that's he's always held me up. And that's why I was more happy for him than me, that the McCoy name is somewhere and solidified. And, you know, he grew up around the same area. The house I grew up in is actually like 5 minutes from the school. So it was pretty cool, man. That's our area that we all grew up in, and we had a lot of fun.
Great stuff here from Gerald on this Wednesday. And, again, we will get to the preparation in the upcoming game with the Philadelphia Eagles. You mentioned being at the Sooners game. They played TCU, Texas Christian, there. And that ended up being a fairly close game. But what's it like to go back as a former Oklahoma Star football player and be at Memorial Stadium and be part of all of that on a bye week?
That was great, man. I hadn't had a chance to go back and really just take in a game. I took my family with me, and, you know, my kids said it's the funnest game they've ever been to.
Because they got to watch it with dad.
Right, yeah. You know, granted, they got food and all that extra stuff, you know. But, you know, I guess my son didn't know that, you know, they did the bands and all the, you know, he's just so used to seeing the NFL. He didn't know about all the bands and how they do all the marching and
right.
this and all the festivities of college. You know, he said, it's way cooler than the NFL. I'm like, yeah, that's why people love college football. You know, the NFL is more business oriented. It's just about winning. You got to
sure.
win, you know.
More for the love of the game. All right, I promise that a little bit later on in the show, we will bring up that little bitty college football game, Oklahoma and Texas. We'll talk about that in a little while.
We got a scrimmage this Saturday against Texas.
Oh, here we go. It's already starting, and we'll talk about the Red River rivalry a little bit later on. And I promise, fans, when we get back here, we're going to talk about the preparation for the Eagles and the matchup against those guys coming into Raymond James Stadium. That's the next opponent off the bye week this week as the Buccaneers try to get off to a winning start here in 2013 off the bye week. We'll do that with Gerald here in a moment. Again, as we continue on this Wednesday night, we're at the Outback Steakhouse in Tampa on Sheldon Road. We will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Stay with us. Day night, great to have you with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Number 93, Gerald McCoy sits here with us as we get ready for this matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, we're at the Outback Steakhouse in Tampa, Sheldon Road, right behind the Citrus Park Mall, right between Waters Avenue and Citrus Park Drive. If you're familiar with Erie, come on in. The Outback Steakhouse folks want you to know that it's Outback Steakhouse Buccaneer Mondays, by the way, Gerald. They are open for lunch. A lot of fans that are listening to us may not know or realize this. Outback now open for lunch 7 days a week at 11 a.m. And this one is one of the newly redesigned Outback Steakhouses and remodeled, et cetera. So a lunch 7 days a week at 11 a.m. and on Monday. It's Buccaneer Mondays. And if you come in and order two of the lunch entrees and say it's a Bucks Life, you get $5 off of those two entrees. So, again, come hang out. Come have some lunch at Outback Steakhouse. And, again, they've got seven different lunch specials for $7.99 here at Outback Steakhouse.
Do they still have the 93-cent?
I'm not sure.
Bloomin' Onion, I
but we do know that they're going to have the It's a Bucks Life Mondays for Buccaneer Mondays.
Hey,
lunch at Outback Steakhouse.
Mondays, lunch at Outback Steakhouse. Let's do it.
Yeah, get it done right after a Buccaneer win as the Bucks get set to take on the
That's
Eagles.
That's the best time to come in.
Exactly. And, again, we'll take your phone calls, 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in Pinellas and you're hearing us tonight, you can dial us up at 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS wherever you can hear the show through technology, et cetera, on the Internet, on the phone, on the app. Whatever the case is, 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet me a question for Gerald if you don't want to wait on hold. You can't get through on the phone, whatever the case might be. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, and we'll get your Twitter questions going here this evening as well. All right, so back at practice. This was a little different week because of the bye week. You guys got back on Monday and began to practice Monday, so it was a little different. What about that?
Monday was kind of before we left, we got a little bit of filling in, and Monday was kind of, kind of cleaning that up. We didn't get the official game plan put in until today. We kind of knew what to expect with the calls and kind of what they do. We got a lot of that in the day we left for the bye week and Monday. Well, today was official first and second down day. And I will say this, people were worried about the team morale and all those different things. Monday and today, there was a different feel around the building. The morale of the team never was down, if that makes sense.
Right.
But Monday and today was at an all-time high.
Seemed like a fresh start?
Yeah. I mean, I think the bye week was really good for us. The record is what it is. We're not a team to say, we're 0-4, but the reality is we're 0-4. It is what it is. Can't change it now. All you can do is work on what happens in the future. And I think everybody's taking a hold of that and, embracing it and really preparing to go get a big win Sunday.
You mentioned that you were working on first and second down. Again, for the fans that are out there, they're interested in what's going on with that. I mean, you're focusing not just on what kind of offense the Eagles run in general, but you get that specific in a practice and work on first and second down.
Yeah, definitely. I'll say this about Philly. They run a lot of plays. They run a lot of plays. LeSean McCoy, or Shady, already has 98 carries. That's ridiculous.
Right, in five games.
In five games, 98 carries? That's insane. So in order to do that, you have to have a whole bunch of plays, a whole bunch. So, we have to be ready for that, man. Their tempo is ridiculous.
Because the idea for what we're talking about is that Chip Kelly, their head coach, who was the University of Oregon, they're trying to squeeze off as many plays as possible and trying to take no more than about 20 seconds, if that, in between plays, rapid fire, line it back up, and go again. That's what you're seeing on tape, correct?
Yeah, man. I wrote some stuff down today. This is really not giving anything away. It's just my personal notes. I wrote something down today. I was watching the Washington game because I want to see how fast they really run plays. So they kicked the ball off. It was a touchback. First play, of course, is at 15 minutes. Second play they ran was at 14:47.
With the clock rolling.
The clock rolling.
Right.
The second play was at 14:47. the next play was at like 14:32 or something like that. So that's a, what, 14 seconds?
Right. They've run two plays in 28 seconds.
Two plays in 28 seconds. That's ridiculous. That's insane.
Because typically.
And it was, you know, pretty repetitive. You know, it was pretty consistent.
But typically you would have had two plays in about 50 seconds as opposed to 28 seconds, maybe 55 seconds.
They ran so many plays. It was ridiculous. They had, you know, before the 12-minute mark, they had to have close to 20 plays. They were flying. I never seen nothing like it. But if you know the history of Oregon and how Coach did things there, they ran a lot of plays. You know, that's his philosophy. Get on the ball, tempo. Get on the ball, tempo. Plays, 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 plays.
So as a defense, again, without giving away the strategy part of it, what is the challenge then to get ready for that tempo with the personnel that's on the field when they're trying to run, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up?
You just got to get back on the ball, man. You have to. The thing is, their offense has a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of smoke and mirrors to their offense. But if you just focus on your job and nothing else, only the things you need to focus on, your assignment for that particular play, you'll be okay because, you know, a lot of the things they do is just to get you off. You know, they have this guy shift here, this guy motion here, or this guy pull here, but the ball's coming right at you. You know, it's not going where you think it is. So if you just focus, we have a great game plan. If we just focus on our assignment, on each individual play, you know, I think we have a pretty good shot of shutting down the run game.
All right, let's go to the phones as Gerald talks to us about the Eagles, and we will talk a little more as we go along about the matchup. But we got fans that are hanging on here that want to say, hey, let's start with Sam in Brandon. You are up first here with Gerald McCoy tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Sam.
What's going on, TJ?
How are you?
I'm good. Big fella, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
Hey, congratulations, man, on your accomplishment, man, getting everything named after you. And I'm going to tell you what, that is big, man, for your father to be present with you.
Thank you.
You know, you see things like that happen, and that person that's been instrumental in your life, they're no longer with you. So I can only imagine how it felt to be able to share that with your father and your family. So congratulations. Now, question.
Okay.
Dakota Watson, man, what has his play meant to the defense?
Okay. First off, thanks, Sam. I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. Yeah, it meant a great deal to have my dad next to me when I got honored like that. And the two reasons, my dad's name lived on, and like I said, man, that was very significant for me, really, for me and my wife, because, I mean, how crazy is it that the place you meet your wife, now their athletic field is named after you? That's pretty insane. Me and my wife were talking about that in the car, like, really? Like, we met here, you know, like,
right.
It's, you know, they say some things are destined to be.
Right.
Doesn't it kind of seem that way?
Or things come full circle.
Yeah,
you're right back to where you met her, right?
Yeah. And
how old were you when you met?
In the seventh grade.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it comes back full circle to the middle school.
Yeah. That's insane, man. But as far as Dakota, his energy, the thing about Dakota's has struggled in the past with picking up the defense. But he's always been a dynamic player. But his understanding of the defense now is starting to show with his play and, you know, the plays he's making. He's arguably the best athlete I've ever been around.
Really?
He can do some insane stuff athletically. But his talent is ridiculous. He's, you know, I think one of the top three best special teams players in the NFL. Top three. You know, not including including the punt and kickoff returners.
I think he's that good.
I think he's that good. But, you know, his understanding of the defense and how he flashes and how fast he is. You can use him in so many different ways. You know, he's as fast as anybody on the field. He's as strong as anybody on the field. It's ridiculous. He's, you know, next to Akeem Spence, probably stronger than all our D linemen.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's
He's
get into
insane.
This.
He's insane.
So let's get into this a little bit. So he can bench the way the defensive lineman can bench as a linebacker.
Oh, yeah. I think the only person that can bench more than him on the D-line is Spence.
Are you saying that you've taken Dakota on an occasion?
Yeah. Yeah, he can. I mean.
And are you looking at him and then double-checking the bar?
As of late, you know, it's been a pretty close competition, but we did some close to maxing out.
Right.
I mean,
do you look at him and then look at the bar and then look back at him?
Dakota's probably, 6'2", 6'3", maybe 230.
Right.
Something like that. And he threw up 415 like it was nothing.
That's some strength now.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man. And, you know, he can jump out. You know, he can jump through the roof. He's a great athlete, man. And he's a great asset to our defense.
All right, we'll go back to the phones as you listen to Gerald McCoy on this Wednesday night on Buccaneers Total Access. Here is Jeff in Groveland, Florida. You are up here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Gerald McCoy? Just calling from Groveland. Just wanted to give a quick shout-out real quick. We got a school here in Groveland, Florida, South Lake High School. We got one of our players that used to play here. I don't know if you've met him before. His name is Jeff Demps.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard of him.
I've met him a few times.
Yeah. He's pretty fast. He's hard to catch, but he went to my school.
Oh, cool.
And Jeff, Jeff, you don't seem like you're aware of this. Jeff is now on the Buccaneer roster. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
At first, he
went to my high school.
There you go.
Now he's on my favorite team, which is. Pretty
there you
cool.
go.
Yeah, cool. But, so I'd like to give him a quick shout-out real quick. But, my question for you, Joe, is as Buck fans, we've noticed that the team has really, you know, bought into Greg Schiano, still believes in what he can do and what he brings to the team. We have a lot of talent. We got some good pro bowlers, you included. So talent isn't an issue, you know. That's something that was kind of a problem with Raheem was we didn't have much talent on the team. And now that Schiano came, it seems like we have upgraded a lot more in talent each year. My question to you is, what do you guys see in him that you're buying in his program? I know Warren Sapp yesterday didn't have nice things to say about him, and I know you and him are close. But I just want to know, as a Bucs fan, why we should still buy into him and his way of doing things around the facility. And I'll just hang up and listen. And go Bucs, and good luck, man. You guys are playing lights out on defense. Keep it up.
Thanks, Jeff. Let me speak on 99 first. 99 is a grown man, and I can't control what he says. So, you know, I hope people are not, you know, tying me to what he's saying. You know, we are good friends, and we do talk a lot. He helps me as far as preparing for games and the things I need to be better at. But he has his own opinion, and I have my own opinion. Now, my opinion and what I know, because I work in the building, and I work – under our head coach, he is, as far as what we needed when he came in, he's exactly what we needed, because there was stuff everywhere, all over the place, craziness, and he brought in a discipline to this team that I think goes unnoticed, and he brought in a change to this team that I think goes unnoticed. The past couple weeks, there has been an uproar about a whole bunch of nonsense. But what people didn't realize is they were not seeing the behind the scenes with how he always kept his cool. He never fed into everything that was being said. And regardless of what's going on now, he's not getting off the path that we need to be on. We're preparing the same. he's not changing his ways, and I don't think he's overbearing or whatever everybody says he is. He's a player's coach. He listens to us. The leaders on the team, he sits us down and asks us our opinion on a lot of different things. So people are blaming him for a lot of the different things that's going on, but what people don't realize is he's not a dictator. He sits his leaders down and asks us what we think should be going on because we're in the locker room. We step across those white lines and we play the game. And I think that's his best asset, is that he stays focused and he stays on the path, and nothing is going to get him off of that. He said we're going to win championships, and that's his only focus. And regardless of all the nonsense that people have been seeing, that's his only focus. And if you can't buy into that, hey, you know, I appreciate you, but if you're not going to be with us, then that means you're against us. Hopefully, Jeff, you're still with us, and all the fans are still with us, and we love our fans. But if you're not going to be with us, then that means you're against us. So you should probably go root for New Orleans or
something. No, they should be with you.
Yeah, but hopefully they'll be with us. And we're praying that they stay with us.
Well, you know, one thing I kept thinking there when you were giving that answer is winning cures and changes everything. Winning is the ultimate tonic, right? I mean, winning is it. Winning is what it's all about, right? I mean, once you win, you change everything, right? Changes the entire dynamic of all of it. So that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, definitely. And we're off to a rough start. So what? It happens. We're not the first team to do it. Who cares? Who cares? You got to keep going. If you get stuck in the fact that you've lost a couple games, you won't ever get out. You won't ever dig your way out. You won't ever climb your way out of the hole if you do not focus on the task at hand, and that's winning games. So what? You came up short first four games. That's why there's 16 of them. Keep going. Just keep going. And I know there's a lot of fans who are, you know, disappointed or whatever. But as long as you don't give up on us, that's all we care about. We're disappointed, too. We didn't expect to be 0-4. But we are. It's reality. So just like we're staying focused and saying, okay, let's accept it for what it is, and let's move forward to the next game and try and win them one at a time. We need our fans to be the same way. Ride with us, cheer for us one game at a time, and let's go get this thing, man.
There you go. Well said from number 93, Gerald McCoy. Again, we're at the Outback Steakhouse in Tampa on Sheldon Road in between Waters and Citrus Park Drive, right behind the Citrus Park Mall. We'll come back with more with Gerald, including your phone calls. Stay with us here on this Wednesday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Yes, indeed. Back here on a Wednesday night at the Outback Steakhouse here in Tampa on Sheldon Road. That's where we are located this evening. With number 93, as the Bucs come off the bye week and get ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday, 1 o'clock there at Raymond James Stadium, as we're looking forward to a raucous crowd. We know there'll be some Eagle fans there, but the Buc fans have been loud and proud in the first two games so far this year with the Saints and with the Arizona Cardinals, and we suspect and expect for them to be the same way on Sunday. Here's how you join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you are in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free anywhere else outside the Tampa Bay area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet in a question at my Twitter handle there, Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. And several people have tweeted in kind of the same question in terms of the bye week. I had three different people ask me about the bye week practices. You mentioned earlier in the show, for those just joining us, that you guys did practice a couple of times last week, but you didn't have an opponent for the weekend. So what were the bye week practices like to get ready for this week and the actual practices for the Eagles?
The first practice was kind of a walkthrough tempo, just kind of trying to get our legs back under us and, just really recovering from the game. The next practice was working on fundamentals, getting back to, you know, our kind of, I guess, camp mentality when we were you know, oiling up the tools and, you know, just kind of going over the things we didn't do right the first 4 weeks. Well, at the end of that practice, we, you know, implemented kind of a little mini plan of what the Eagles was going to be. And then that was it. He let us go on break.
You got four days, right?
Yes.
And then back at it on Monday to start going to work and putting things together. So, you know, it's always interesting to come back refreshed. And you said for the audience just joining us here that you felt like clean slate in and around the building coming back for this week to get ready to practice.
It definitely feels like it. It feels like a clean slate and you know, but we're not looking past reality, and reality is we are 0-4.
But I like what you said. You can only control this game. You can't control the 0-4 part.
The great thing about that is it's behind us. It's behind us. So now we just move forward. That's it. Simple as that.
All right, speaking of behind us, that's a little of the ambiance at the Outback Steakhouse. If the fans heard that, it was not a jet engine. They're just mixing some adult beverages behind us. Just thought I'd point that out here. Part of the food and the fun at Outback. Again, they want to remind you that it's Buccaneer Mondays at Outback Steakhouse for lunch. Lunch now 7 days a week at 11 a.m. at Outback Steakhouse. And on Mondays, you can get $5 off of two entrees by just mentioning it's a Bucs Life at your local Outback Steakhouse, wherever that is here in the Tampa Bay area. Buccaneer Mondays. They've got seven items, Gerald, under $7.99, $7.99 and under for lunch. Again, 7 days a week. So big theme at Outback Steakhouse here for the fall. Get to your local Outback Steakhouse, enjoy some good food, and the Buccaneer special there on Buccaneer Mondays for saying it's a Bucs Life. All right, back to the phones. Nate has been waiting in Sarasota. You're on here with Gerald McCoy on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how's it going? What's up, G-Mac?
What's happening, Nate?
All right, man. Look here, will y'all be doing basically the same thing, or will y'all be doing something special for the, you know, the hurry-up offense? Like, you know, maybe will y'all, what I'm trying to ask you is, will y'all be just basically staying in your lanes and tackling, or have y'all been planning something special? Go Sooners.
Cool. Appreciate that, man. I always like to hear people supporting my college. That's great.
He didn't do the boomer, though.
He just did
Go Sooners.
Hey, it's okay. He's still supporting. No, I can't really tell you what we're going to do, but I will tell you this. Our coaches have had ample time to prepare us a great game plan for the hurry up and everything that Philadelphia's offense, you know, brings to the table. As I mentioned earlier, it's a lot of bells and whistles, you know, smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of different things they try and do to get you off your job. But with the game plan we have, if we just focus on our job, we can slow them down. It's hard to do, but I think we have a really good game plan.
Interesting that Michael Vick suffered a hamstring injury Sunday in the
he
game
would.
Of the Giants.
He would.
And so they apparently.
You want to know why I'm so upset?
Why?
2 years in a row. Okay. You know how you, as a kid, you play the game and you or middle school, high school, and you see these guys and you're like, man, I would love to play against them.
Right.
And then you finally get your opportunity and they get hurt.
Yep.
I know that probably everybody's like, yeah, we're not playing against Vic. That's good for us. For me, I'm a huge competitor. I'm a huge fan of Vic. Doesn't mean I wasn't going to try and kill him.
Right.
But he's Michael Vick, you know, and last year he got hurt the week before we played him.
Right.
This year he gets hurt the week before we play him.
And it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play.
And it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play. Nothing against Nick Foles, because I talked about Nick Foles earlier today, and he did a great job with extending the play with his feet last year. And he's an
explain
underrated.
What you mean by that.
You know, when we put a lot of pressure on him last year, but he was able to escape and, you know, move around in the pocket or scramble to buy himself time to find the open receiver, and it killed us last year. He had a great game against us last year, and I think it kind of went under the radar how good his game really was, and even put together a game-winning drive at the end of the game. You know, so we definitely have a tough task ahead of us with Nick Foles, but that's just kind of personal to me. I always want to play against Vic.
And there may be an opportunity at some point here, but it doesn't look like he might be able to play. You mentioned the game a year ago. It's a new coaching staff running a new offense now in Philadelphia. How much can you take away from the game last year and watching Nick Foles versus being in a new offense, trying to do different things in 2013? How does that work, Gerald?
I guess you just kind of look at the players. You know, you can see it, who played in the game last year and how they, you know, how they played against us. And then you look at their progression from that point up until now, if they're still in the starting lineup or if they have some of the same players, but the scheme is completely different. So he's going to approach the game completely different. So you kind of you can look at last year, but we haven't watched last year's game at all.
Not really focused on it.
Mm-mm.
Back to the phones here on this Wednesday night on Buccaneers Total Access. Chris has been waiting in St. Pete. You are on with number 93, Gerald McCoy. Chris.
Hey, Gerald.
Hey, Chris.
I'm one of those longtime Bucs fans, and you just said a little bit ago, don't give up on us. Don't, man, I've been for 36 years watching this team, and they will hang a Buccaneer flag on my coffin. I'm 47 years old, and when I'm no longer here, that's how long I'll be a Bucs fan. Hopefully, you know, another 40, 50 years, but they'll be hanging a flag on my coffin. That's a Buccaneer flag, so. That's what, as far as me being a fan, and I've called your show several times. A couple weeks ago, you and I were talking about Mike Glennon. I still have a lot of faith in this guy. I have a lot of faith in the entire team. I think our defense is awesome, Gerald. We have a defense that has its pieces in place, in my opinion. And there's no looking over the shoulder, we need this, we need that. No, we got what we need. It's a defense that's ready to go. It's plugged in. And that's what's aggravating me so much, Gerald, because I keep hearing co-workers or people around me, you know, losing is losing. It's the same as when Raheem was here and we were losing all of them. I said, no, it is not. I said, we are losing by a coin flip, and we have a good team. Back then, we were getting our butt kicked week after week after week. And in those games, no matter what you did, Gerald, as you know, you're going to lose. You just don't have the talent. You just don't have enough to hang in there. But, Gerald, if you could just do me this favor, you guys keep believing, because if this offense, all we need, if this offense can just flip that coin and get rolling, the defense is plugged in and ready to go, and we will get rolling. And I'm talking one win, two win, three win, seven in a row. We're just that close, Gerald. And I'm giving a pep talk here, man, but I love you guys, and I don't want you to give up and keep believing. And if Shiano's listening or any other players, we are just a coin flip away from getting this thing rolling. And good luck, Gerald, and I'll be watching every minute Sunday. And I love you guys, man.
How about that?
That's what I'm talking about. That's
he's with us, any, right? That's what that would be your line, right?
For any fan that is trying to figure out what I was talking about, call Chris's phone. And Chris, I'm going to ask Coach to let you give the pregame speech.
There you go.
Before we go play Philly. No, he said a lot of positive things, and I really appreciate it. Just so he knows where our mind is, we have 100% total confidence that our offense will turn it around. But me being me and only focusing on our defense, I want to clear some things up. I said this last week or the week before, our offense is what it is. However, the games, when you look at the score, they're not zero. And if they don't say zero, then clearly the defense could have played better. That's how I look at it. So until we put zero on the scoreboard, we're not doing enough. So I never want people to think that our defense is satisfied with how we're playing or this or that. Until the score says zero, we're not doing enough. And that's just how we approach the game.
That's the words of Gerald McCoy here with us. It is Buccaneers Total Access. We're here until the top of the hour at the Outback Steakhouse in Tampa on Sheldon Road. Come by, see the show. Got some Buccaneer fans in here with their Gerald McCoy jerseys on and other Buccaneer jerseys and hats, etc. Come on over, Buccaneer fans. I know they're fighting through some of the traffic to get here, too, to have dinner with us on a Wednesday night, and we appreciate that. A couple of more people have tweeted in on the subject of the hurry-up style of play. You know, one of the things they're trying to do there, obviously, is from a conditioning standpoint, fatigue you for later on in the game. Just talk about that part of the battle where it's almost a test of who's in better shape with the way that they're trying to play. Because, I mean, part of that motivation is they want to be stronger, they want to be fresher in the second half, right?
They had camp in Philly, we had camp in Tampa.
Right.
Big difference. Huge difference.
Game will be Sunday, 1 o'clock in Tampa.
1 o'clock in Tampa. It's not in Philly.
Yep.
It's in Tampa. And if you think you can be in Philly that long and then come down to Tampa at 1 o'clock and run around all day, it's not happening. It's not happening. You know, our conditioning level is never what we're worried about, ever. You know, the way we practice and how we prepare and just the elements we live in, you know, is second to none. And I know one thing we're never worried about is losing a game based off conditioning, ever. If it's anything, it's going to be execution. But I promise you, we're going to be in shape. That's one thing we will be.
Again, the words of Gerald McCoy here with us. We got our remaining few moments here on the other side of the timeout. Again, you can still squeeze in a phone call at 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro, 727-461-4620 if you're in Pinellas, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS wherever you can hear the show outside of the Tampa Bay area. We'll come back and ask Gerald, too, about that Red River rivalry game, that little football game with Oklahoma and Texas. You
Please
lived
do.
That. You lived that. So
I've lived it a couple times.
I want to hear about it from you when we get back as well here in our remaining moments on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Stay with us.
Locked himself out of his car.
And the Bucs get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles coming Sunday at 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. And, again, we look forward to that one as Tampa Bay comes off of the bye week and gets ready to play against the Eagles. We've seen the Eagles a couple of times here in recent years in Philadelphia and also now at Raymond James Stadium in back-to-back years. Of course, Bucks will forever be linked with the Philadelphia Eagles with closing down Veteran Stadium with the NFC. You mentioned number 99 earlier in the show. 99, 55, Derrick Brooks, 47, John Lynch, 20, Rondé Barber, forever linked with the Eagles for closing down Veterans Stadium and winning the NFC Championship game. It's just, you know, free way for the Buccaneer fans to make mention to the Eagles if they ever have any concerns about the Buccaneer-Eagle rivalry.
Yeah.
There was an NFC Championship game that the Eagles won back, the Buccaneers actually beat the Eagles in the NFC playoffs back in 79, that 79 season, and now also an NFC Championship game win in Philadelphia in that 2002 Super Bowl season. So the two teams obviously intertwined there. All right, before we get back to the phones one final time, OU and Texas, Red River rivalry game. You lived that game.
Yeah.
For what, two occasions or three?
Three.
Three times. What is it like to play in that game in Dallas in front of 90,000-plus, half Sooner fans, half Longhorn fans?
Oh, that's great, man. The first time I walked down that ramp, you know, the atmosphere around there is ridiculous, man. It's insane, and you can feel it. You can feel the tension and the energy. The best part is the ride in, though. You're on the bus, and the fans are beating on the bus as you're riding in, and
because you're coming in the Texas State Fair,
you're coming into Texas State Fair, so there's people everywhere.
Yep,
and they split them, and you know you see OU fans on one side and Texas fans on the other side. With that, I don't know if they let you know what team is coming in, but I don't know if you can see in or what, but they always know, and they start beating on the buses, and it's great, man. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. That game is really, really fun.
And you won it two of the three or all three?
No. One of them once. I think we won once.
Oklahoma's once. Had a lot of success, though, recently.
Yeah, I think we.
You guys are riding high.
Four in a row, I think, right now.
Stoops is either 9-4 or 9-5 in the rivalry.
Yeah, it's as bad as it is. I think we might get Mac Brown fired this weekend.
This might be the end of it.
This might be the end of Mac Brown.
Well, he's on the hot seat. There's no doubt.
Losing to OU, though, I mean, anytime you lose to OU or if you lose to Texas.
And the last two games have been blowout wins for the Sooners.
Yeah,
so if it's another one.
If you lose to one or the other, you automatically get put on the hot seat. That's just how it works. But if you're already on the hot seat and then you get blown out by OU, I don't know. I think I'm going to send a text to Roy Miller.
Yeah, Roy Miller, your former teammate.
Frank Okan.
Both Longhorns.
Jim Crowder.
Roy was your roommate.
Yeah, Roy was my roommate.
And you told us on more than one occasion that you two would just, for that game.
We went at it.
Yeah.
We went at it. I made him wear my game jersey. You know how tight those jerseys are? And Roy's a lot bigger than me. So I made him wear my game jersey around the facility.
So that's the kind of rivalry. Again, everybody in this state cares about rivalry games like Florida, Florida State, and, you know, there's Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, but OU, Texas, that part of the world is one of the great ones. I was at that 2007 game that you were in that Oklahoma won that year, which would have been, what, your sophomore year?
Red shirt freshman year
that year. All right, quickly to the phones. We only got a couple minutes left. Matt in Lakeland has been waiting. You're on with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Matt.
Question for you.
Go ahead.
You mentioned earlier that you've always wanted to play against Michael Vick. Is there one other player in the league that you just always wanted to play against? And then the other side of that, is there one player in the league that if you could add anyone to your defense, who would you want? Oh, hey.
All right. If you could go against somebody that you haven't played yet, play Tom Brady this year, play Drew Brees all the time, is there a player?
I got the first part of the question. I missed the second part.
Second part, if you could add anybody you wanted to your defense, maybe he means all time, too.
I don't know. I don't know if he said in the league or what. But,
yeah.
Okay, I'll answer him in order. I've played everybody, but the last person, I guess, would be Michael Vick. I played Peyton Manning last year.
Right.
You know, that's – I mean –
went against
Hall
Adrian Peterson, the former Sooner.
I played Adrian Peterson my second year.
And played him last year, too.
Yeah. So
RG3 last year.
Yeah. I mean, but for me, I mean, Adrian Peterson, I was on his team. So playing against him is kind of, you know, it's cool, but we were teammates in college. But people like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Michael Vick, you know, Drew Brees, those are the, man, play against Peyton Manning?
Sure.
Well, that's, some people get to play him twice a year, but, yeah, that's pretty much it, man. And as far as adding anybody to our defense, I like it the way we got it.
I like that answer.
The way we got it.
I like that answer. There on that. Well, we got about 60 seconds left. Again, the Eagles, the opponent, and I know you guys are excited pointing towards Sunday now to come off the bye week, get back home in front of the Buccaneer fans, right?
Yes. We're ready. We're ready, we're ready, we're ready. We are who we are. We've accepted what our record is, and we're looking towards the future, not the past. The 0-4 is behind us. All we can focus on is the Eagles, and we want you guys there with us. We're going to need you.
Gerald, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. There's number 93. My thanks to Chris here at Outback Steakhouse and also Eric Sachs back at Network Control. Buccaneer fans having a good time at Outback in Tampa. I'm TJ Reeves. We'll talk to you Sunday for the Bucs and the Eagles at 1 on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
At Moffitt Cancer Center, we approach each day with a renewed commitment to the prevention and cure of cancer. We're the only NCI designated